You're coming around third base. What's going through your head?
Good game. Let's go eat.
We be the infamous. You heard of us. Official
review.
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 What's up, gang? Welcome back to the Upon Official Review podcast. It is episode number 20, if you can believe it. There's actually been more than that if you count the bonus episodes, but here we are, a fifth of the way to 100. So thanks for sticking around. Thanks for being a part of the show, calling in and tweeting and following us on Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr and all that stuff. It's been a blast. You know, we're really going to try to take it to the next level, you know, in the next 6 months, next year. Who knows? You might hear us on some different outlets, but, you know, we thank you guys for just being a great audience and for being, you know,
absolutely great followers. Just being great fans.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, just being a part of the fan base and connecting with everybody that way has just been it's been a real joy. So, you know, we really appreciate it. So, yeah, man, it's been fun. 20 episodes. It's getting funner as Roy Halladay would say.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because you know, it's August, it's football time. I mean, it's August, it's baseball time, and soon it'll be football time. But you know, we're getting closer and closer to the playoffs in baseball, pennant race, et cetera, et cetera. And now we're 3 games out of 4 games against the Giants series is done as of literally about an hour ago.
Yep.
Cole Hamels just pitched the gem, which I tweeted, which he promptly turned into a pair of beautiful earrings. I always thought that was a funny, you know, a funny term. Somebody pitched the gem, but whatever. Yeah, Cole Hamels pitched a great game. One run allowed, like what, 8 hits? Yep. 7 hits?
5, I believe.
That's it?
The Giants only got 5.
Yeah, and they had...
Giants had 5. Oh, no, Giants had 7, Phillies had 5.
Right, okay, yeah, something like that. I knew that. But, yeah, they had no hits and both runners in scoring position. They were, like, 0 for 17 or 0 for 16. Yep. So, yeah, great game. Offense didn't do a whole lot, but they did enough.
Yep.
Phillies are looking really good. They're 8-0 since Hunter Pence and 9 games in a row total, correct?
Correct. They haven't lost since the Giants beat us 2 out of 3. In our park last week. Right now, they're just blowing everybody away. The Yankees are kind of doing the same thing in the AL, but the Phillies just look like absolutely the class of baseball and no question the National League. They just, right now, the 3 in a row in San Fran have just put to bed any questions they might have had, whereas could they beat the Giants? Could they beat the Giants on the road? Could they beat Lincecum and Kane? They've done it all. They won the season series against the Giants. So far, they won 4 out of 6, even if they lose tomorrow. They got the season series. They won the series in San Fran. Notoriously, haven't played good in San Francisco. Right now, this team is just unbelievable. If they don't get hurt, tough to see it. I mean, before this series, you were scared of the Giants, but right now, you're not. I'm not even scared of the Giants. I don't care. They could play them in the short series. Bring anybody on at any time. I just think the Phillies are too good right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. Obviously, you never want to get ahead of yourself. You know, we've done that before. Last year, I remember even the national media was making me mad because the national media is never on our side. And the national media was like, oh, there's no way the Giants are going to beat the Phillies, da-da-da-da. And I was like, gosh,
right.
Shut up.
And then, you know, the Phillies, you know, had never played well in San Francisco. And just I was thinking that. It was kind of a nagging – honestly, when I was reading certain stats, the Phillies did this, in San Francisco the last couple of years and haven't played well against the Giants. I just thought, well, maybe that was just, you know, they caught us at a good time. And it was just a nagging little feeling there. And I wasn't really ever comfortable. And sure enough, they did beat us. But, you know, usually you're always thinking, oh, I hope this happens. I hope this happens. I don't want to play this team. I don't want to play that team. Right now, I literally don't care. Who they play?
Bring them all on. You
series,
say.
Bring them on anytime. Are you scared of anybody?
No.
I mean, I don't care. I don't care if we play the San Francisco the first round, the Yankees, the Red Sox. I don't care. 5 games, 7 games, 20 games. I don't even care.
Yeah, and you're right.
I'm
mean,
that
like,
confident right now. This team is unbelievable. The 35 games over .500. They're just ridiculously good.
35. Wow, that's impressive. So they're on pace for something like, I think I saw 106 games.
106. Well, that was as of yesterday, 106. Probably still 106. today.
That's impressive.
That's a ton of wins. And let's not forget, a lot of, you know, when their offense wasn't great, when they didn't have Utley early in the season, you know, since they got healthy, they've been winning even more than that. Right. Now, yeah, 106 wins are on pace for. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they could – lately they've been playing even better than that. They might end up winning 110. So,
man, that would be something else.
That would be cool.
That would be cool. I mean, growing up all through, like, the 80s mm-hmm. and even most of the 90s, like, the Phillies were just irrelevant, you know? Like, right. And you wanted to watch them because, you know, baseball is just – there's not much else to do in the summer, first of all. So it's like, you know, go to a game and that would be fun, but like
when you're
mm-hmm. yeah, you know, but they were just so bad for years. I remember why.
Now they're the team.
Yeah, so. exactly. And not just that, but you know, the league recognizes it, other players recognize it, they want to come here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just been a blast. No more days of Kim Batiste and Ricky Jordan and you know, just leftovers like Peter.
No more days of Schilling and Roland, you know. Forcing their way out of town.
You're right. I remember that. Scott Rowland.
Now players are forcing their way in town. Yeah. You know, Halladay says he wants to be traded, but only to the Phillies. You know, Lee takes less money. Yep. You know, Hunter Pence acting like a kid in a candy store when he comes here.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
It is. Hunter Pence, let's talk about him, man. I had no idea that Ruben Amaro would pull off that trade. I just thought, you got to be kidding me, right? Really, Hunter Pence? Just an amazing steal of a trade again. Like, Amaro and Ed Wade are, like, their best buddies, or Ed Wade is still secretly working for the Phillies or something. I don't get it.
Well, we did trade our top two prospects.
We did, yeah, yeah.
And they were ranked, like, 38th and 39th in all of baseball going into the season. So it's not like Houston didn't get anything for him.
Right.
So I actually think that we – you know, it was a pretty fair trade.
I mean, you got to figure the last trade they pulled off with Houston looks completely one-sided, doesn't it?
Yeah, because Hap has been awful.
Hap has been terrible.
But they did get a decent prospect in that trade also.
Tosart and Singleton.
Ed Wade's a bad general manager. We all know that. Yeah. But I actually think this trade was a good one for him. I think it was one of the classic because trading in baseball is not a zero sum. If somebody gets a positive. The other team doesn't have to get a negative. Both teams can win.
Right.
So I think this is going to be one of those times. Now, you never know if prospects pan out, but those guys look really good. And how much better could they have? I mean, Pence is not a he's a very good player. He's not, like, a great player. So to me, he's an all-star and very good. He's not great, though.
Yeah, you wouldn't put him in, like, your top 10.
No, nothing. Yeah, exactly. He's a very good player, but he's not, you know, Chase Utley. He's not a Ryan Howard, that kind of a player. He's not like the upper echelon, you know, elite of the elite level of player. He's very good again. So I don't know
He's Jason Worth-ish.
Yeah, he's probably better around than Jason that. Worth. A little more of a track record. And he also. If you look at what he did this year, he was the guy on a bad team. He was batting fourth in that lineup. Mm-hmm. Now he just has to be just somebody, you know, in our lineup. He has no pressure really on him.
Yeah, that's right.
He actually might thrive. I mean, look at Worth going from not having to be the man in Philly to having to be the man and having a big contract to look up to. All that pressure really got to him.
Yep, sure did.
So to me, Pence might even be – and his batting average has gone from .307 to, like, .314 since he's been here. He's batting, like, .360 or something like that before today's game, Saturday. Before today's game, he was batting about .360 with the team. And his batting average now is .314. He's going 2-for-4, 2-for-5, 3-for-4 every single stinking game.
Wow.
So
And had some big hits in the process too. Not those just weren't, you know, hits. They were timely hits.
Yeah, and against the Giants, he's just – been huge. Let's see, last 7 days for Hunter Pence batting .355. So, and that's all with us. So, yeah, that's pretty stinking good. Six RBIs in the last 7 days for him. And like, you know, the one thing I was a little worried about was I saw a column that said, oh, here's his numbers against San Francisco's top four starting pitchers. Their top four being Bumgarner, Sanchez, Kane and Lincecum.
Right.
And he was 0 for 8, 1 for 9, 2 for 10. Bad numbers against all of them, but man, he's owned them. so far in the three games so far this week. He's gone 3-for-4, 2-for-5, 2-for-4 with at least one RBI in every game. Home runs, I believe, in the first two games. So he's been awesome. He's been completely destroying the Giants. Of all the teams to do it, that's a perfect team to do it against.
Yeah,
so,
tell me about it. Yep, absolutely.
Because, you know, we really needed three wins a lot. To me, this series was the last meaningful baseball the Phillies are going to play till October. And they sure answered that challenge. So,
yep.
Hunter Pence was a huge acquisition. Balances the lineup. Just makes the lineup good. Really deep right now. Tough to get through. There's not really any breaks.
Do you buy the fact that he's providing protection for Ryan Howard?
Actually, not really, because who do you want to – if I'm a pitcher, am I worried about Pence beating me, or am I worried about Ryan Howard? Am I going to groove one to Ryan Howard so Hunter Pence – you know, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You still don't want Ryan Howard to beat you. Maybe a little bit more, but to me, Howard just – gets hot sometimes and goes crazy and starts killing the ball. And then it's probably a little better to have Pence there, sure. But Victorino's a good player too, and he was batting fifth. So, a little bit more, but still, to me, the pitcher would rather pitch to Pence than Howard. So,
yeah, definitely.
Definitely a ready pitcher. So,
yeah. He's been fun to watch too. He has that angry slap swing. And he's got a great attitude. He brings a lot of juice to the clubhouse.
He's hungry, man.
He is, because he's been on a losing team for so long. You know,
everybody and literally hungry.
Exactly. Isn't that one of the greatest quotes? Seriously,
that was good game. Let's go eat.
Let's go eat. Like, something like an 8-year-old would literally say. You know, what did you think after the game? It was like you interviewed like a little kid. Good game. I want a popsicle. Like,
yeah. But just going back to how big this series, winning these three games, getting the season series, winning a series, a four-game series in the Giants. You know, it's just we don't have to hear the questions. It can't hurt the confidence. Not that they wouldn't be confident, but they're definitely going to be more confident now. It was just big. And you know what else I think's big? And I've been saying this for a while now. John Mayberry Jr., this kid has just been – they said he made an adjustment the last time he went down to the minors and has been killing the ball ever since he came up in early July, just hitting home runs every time he starts. Charlie's finally putting him in games. He gave Ibanez a day off Thursday, gave Howard a day off Friday. I really like this guy. He can play all three outfield positions very well defensively. He has a good arm. He can play first base. You know, to me, he needs to be getting one or two starts a week because, you know, Ibanez getting a day off against a lefty, that'll help Ibanez get rest. The guy's old. And it'll help Mayberry stay hot. It's just a win-win to keep him getting at bats, you know. Yep. And I don't mind him giving Pence a rest or Victorino or Howard a rest sometimes. Right. I like Mayberry a lot. Yeah. And I wouldn't even mind. I think he needs to get a fair shot. You know, maybe he really did fix a hole in his swing and make an adjustment. Maybe he's just as good now. He needs to get a shot. You know, I don't think they should necessarily give the job to Dominic Brown next year. Because Mayberry has looked a lot better to me. Offensively, light years better defensively. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't have quite as good as an arm as Brown, but he has a very good arm. So I wouldn't mind seeing him be the starting left fielder next year either.
Yeah,
you know, if you think Mayberry, you know, if you give him a chance and he's good, then you've got Dominic Brown to go get you another stud. You know what I mean? You don't need them both. And Mayberry's 28. So, and you know, he's going to be cheap for a while, just the same way Brown would be. So, you know, I'm not saying trade Brown, keep Mayberry. I'm just saying, why not give him at least a chance? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he's been killing the ball. You're right. Something like 70% of his hits are extra base hits, right?
Yeah, and you know, Brown is just a joke in the outfield. He's terrible. Mm-hmm. He's too many times jogging down to first base, jogging around the outfield. He doesn't hustle that well. Mayberry, you know, he just hustles all over. I really like Mayberry. You know, not the biggest Brown fan. So, you know, like I said, I think he should get a chance because all he's done is rake with getting a chance. Mm-hmm. So I think they should keep playing him once or twice a week, at least, you know, let these other guys, you know, Victorino could use some time off. You know, Pence, you know, these guys, rest is not a bad thing once in a while for these guys. That'll help them, and it'll help Mayberry. It's a win-win. We know we get four good outfielders, and I like it. So,
speaking of rest, Charlie did one of those things a couple weeks ago, like a week or 2 weeks ago, where he left the pitcher in like a six – with like a six-run lead again. Did that drive you crazy?
It does. It drives me nuts.
I can see if you're going for the shutout, but like when you don't have a shutout.
If you've already given up a run, you know, these big three, Howdy, Hamels, and Lee, anytime you've got a big lead, you know, let's get Herndon in there. Let's get Baez in there. It's big to be able to give them a break because they've thrown a lot of innings. We want them to be fresh in October. So now, you know, they're probably going to get a few starts that are going to be totally meaningless towards the end of September that they can just limit them to five innings. So they might get rest at the back end of the season, but I don't like them going out in the eighth or ninth with a six run lead to me. You know, that's a good way to get them out after seven.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take them out after six ever in a situation like that, unless you're up by 12 or 14 or something like that. But after seven, you know, you should be able to get six outs right before you give up six runs, obviously. So,
yeah.
But that's what he does, you know. So, what are you going to do?
Nuts. I can't stand it. So you're fully confident that nobody else in the NL is going to give him a run?
What, in the regular season?
I mean, no, in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, injuries could change everything. If the postseason started right now, I think we would win, you know, we might lose one game before the World Series. They're just on fire right now. We'll see what happens. You know, ask me after the regular season if we're, you know, that hot then and if we haven't gotten, you know, a couple bad injuries or anything like that. But right now, as it stands, I don't see any team with even a remote chance to win more than one game. I really don't.
So if you're pitching, your postseason, you know, pitching lineup is who? Who are you going 1-2-3-4? Or do you just go 1-2-3?
No, you don't go 1-2-3. Well, it depends. See, we haven't seen Oswalt, but they say his fastball is back and he's not having any pain, which if the fastball's back, he's going to be good again.
Right.
That was the only problem with him earlier. He was in a lot of pain. He had no fastball. So he's definitely your four. If Lee is on one of those otherworldly streaks going into the playoffs and the lineup you're facing is a lot of lefties, I might actually think about pitching Lee first and go Lee, Halliday, Hamels, Oswalt. That way you go left, right, left, right. Otherwise, it's going to be Halliday, Lee, Hamels, Oswalt. I think those are the only two chances. And it's probably going to be Halliday no matter what.
Right.
But like I said, if he, you know, like he was in June, if he's doing something like that, three straight shutouts, and the lineup we're facing is more left-handed, I don't see why you couldn't start him first. There should be no slight to Halliday. It's probably going to be Halliday, Lee, Hamels, Oswalt. I think it's imperative that Hamels gets the third start because the problem with baseball is in the early series, if you sweep in the first round, your fourth pitcher doesn't go. And that actually kind of puts you at a disadvantage because now your fourth pitcher, and once game four of the NLCS rolls around, hasn't pitched in 3 weeks. We all remember that with Blanton last time, and that's really not good.
Right.
So I really wish the first round was best of seven. But Hamels, of all people, you don't want to risk being off for 3 weeks. I'd much trust Oswalt more than Hamels because Hamels is a creature of his routine. And you know, Oswalt's a veteran. He's been there, done that.
Yep.
I'd much, you know, game four with either one off for 3 weeks, I'd feel a lot better with Oswalt than I would Hamels. So Hamels, to me, needs to be lined up for game three because they're going to announce the rotation before the thing. You know, it's one thing if you've already lost the game, then it doesn't matter. You can pitch Oswalt third if you want. But if it's 2-0, you need to get Hamels in game three to keep him on his regular rest or closer to it at least.
So. Sounds good. Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but absolutely. Yeah. You definitely don't want
to
have
Hamels. So that's why, to me, Hamels has to be your game three. Like I said, you don't change it up midstream and they announce the roster or the pitching lineup ahead of time before the series even starts. So that's why the way he's pitched and the fact that Oswalt's been out, I don't think there's any question Hamels is going to be your number three and Oswalt's going to be your number four. So
yeah, that sounds about right.
To really worry about in the regular season is you know, who's your fourth guy? Is it going to be Oswalt or Wehrle? And if Wehrle keeps playing great and Oswalt's not good at all, you know, then Wehrle's your fourth guy.
Yeah, you're right.
And you have Oswalt, you know, in the bullpen ready to go if he's not good or whatever like that. But That's really the only question mark left is what Oswalt are you going to get? What if you
that's
know?
True.
Imagine getting the good Oswalt back. That was the dream. The four aces we haven't had early in the year. Lee wasn't very good, like the first couple weeks.
Right.
And Oswalt was great, and then he got hurt and was never the same. And you know, what if he comes back and is great, and then all four are going at once? I mean, that's just unbelievable. And then Worley's your fifth guy.
Yeah.
You just got basically five aces. You know, none of these guys give up any runs.
Yeah, you're right. No, yeah, Worley's been lights out.
Yeah, he's got a 2-3 ERA. It's insane. And Kendrick even has been good. He has a 3-3 ERA. That's phenomenal for Kendrick.
For Kendrick, exactly.
He pitched eight shutout innings in Coors Field. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I did not see that coming. I figured, oh, these are due to lose one.
His ERA was over 6 in Coors. I thought he was going to get lit up like a Christmas tree.
We saw that. We're like, oh, we got Kendrick going.
Right now it's just an embarrassment of riches, our pitching. It's unbelievable. It's way better than everybody thought going into the season was going to be great. It's been much better than that.
Yeah, you're right. And I didn't expect the back end of the bullpen to be as good as they are either.
Yeah. You didn't think Kendrick or Worley were going to be this good. You didn't think Bastardo and Stutz were going to be this good.
Yep.
It's way better than we thought. And we thought it was going to be historically good. I mean, that's pretty good if you think about it that way.
Yeah.
So.
Seriously. Yeah. Stutz, Bastardo, the whole gang, they've been awesome.
Yes, they have.
All right. Well, yeah, it's been a great time to be a Phillies fan. Let's take a break real quick. We'll come back. We'll do What's Making More Nightmare. We'll talk Eagles. For the first time in a long time, because they made some big pickups.
Yes,
so
sir.
You guys stay tuned to the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word of Philly sports.
That's who we are, and that's what we do. You guys stick around. Redskins and Giants running through these teams are birds too quick. A quarterback crazy calling Superman fit. Ain't no defense in that lead that can stop it. When that boy running and he throwing from the pocket, a name like the Falcons, night accurate with the passes. Boy too smooth, he floated than Jay Macklin. First play the game, touchdown to Sean Jackson. Let's crown the champs, the Eagles, they get it cracking. What's up, gang? It's the Upon Official Review podcast, kicking butt, taking names. That's exactly what we do here. So,
that's how we
before
roll.
We get into exactly, that's how we roll. Put some wheels on it. That's how we roll. Before we get into the Birds Talk, you guys know what time it is. After the break, we always find out what the heck is making Murdoch mad.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, SA? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were. And we got him off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
So, Murdoch, this week, everybody want to know, the fans want to know, what is making Murdoch mad? What you got?
This week, opposing fans are making me mad. I am so tired of hearing all the junk about how horrible Phillies fans are, or Philadelphia fans are.
Right.
And we're the worst fans in sports. You know what? LA Dodgers almost killed that guy, Brian Stowe, their fans. The Giants fans ran over a 9-year-old Phillies fan, hit and run, almost killed the kid, drunk driving, took off. You know what? Every other, you know, these other teams' fans are just as bad. And, you know, the media, of course, you know, if heaven forbid a Phillies fans hit and run some 9-year-old kid, they'd be all over it. For the next 10 years, it'd be leading SportsCenter every stinking show about what animals they have in Philly. Yep. But everyone else can get away with it, and it's just, oh, well, you know, that guy's one bad apple. We're not going to certainly lump all the other fans in with just for one guy. We'd never think of doing that, except for when it's Philly fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody, the media, other teams' fans, they all do it. I'm so sick and tired of it. We're not really that much worse than anybody else.
Nope.
We just get more press than anyone else. And I'm sick and tired of it. Screw you all. I hate everyone else. That's it. I'm frustrated with it. I'm fed up with it. You know what I mean?
I totally agree. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Every other town. Yeah. You always hear like.
They can just do whatever they want. Like murdering 9-year-olds.
Yeah.
And they don't even get said, oh, look at how horrible Giants fans are. They don't even. Not one word. just, nope. Oh, man, we're so sorry about the kid. You know, we hope he's okay. That's what the story is. Not what a bunch of animals these Giants fans are.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I don't get it. Well, I do get it. I mean, it's just been overhyped.
Just
and
jealous.
It's, yeah. that's what it is right
so
now.
So awesome.
That is true. It is true. Absolutely. That makes me mad, too. Ugh. So true, sir. All right, well, let's talk some birds, man. Yes. Eagles made a giant splash in free agency. Well, first, they made the Kolb trade
right.
that we were hoping for. Got us a starting cornerback and a number
and
two.
And a second rounder.
Exactly, and a second rounder.
Which will probably be a pretty good pick, too, you think.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Better than ours, the exactly. Cardinals. You know, I mean, they might be okay, but they probably won't be as good as us. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I remember somebody tweeted, some sports professional tweeted, having never heard of A.J. Feely, the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, exactly. Like, don't you guys remember what happened when you guys traded for A.J. Feely? But you're right, he's definitely...
Feely was winning every game 10-7.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was just stupid. I mean, he wasn't even playing well.
Yeah.
The offense was awful in that, what, it was a 4-1 at the last five with Feely?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we weren't good offensively. We were just awesome on defense. So, I mean, you should have seen it coming then.
Yeah, precisely. Precisely.
But, yeah, I mean, they did give up an awful lot for him, especially since by the time the trade was made, nobody else really wanted Kolb. Everyone else already kind of did their thing with whatever quarterback they were going to go with. So.
Yep. Yep. But, yeah, huge pickups. Two Pro Bowlers in, like, the first couple of days, and then they bring in Jason Babin. They get Cullen Jenkins.
Yep. I love Cullen Jenkins' move, too.
Yeah.
I thought fully underrated. He was awesome last year.
He was.
And huge to have him, Babin, and Cole now on the line. We're going to get some serious pressure. And guess what? With the cornerbacks we have, we could send nine guys every stinking play.
Absolutely.
We don't even, but with the defensive linemen we have, we don't need to blitz anybody. It's unbelievable. We can just send four guys to cover the tight end every play and the slot receiver. You know? I mean, it's just – how are you going to beat us right now?
Yeah.
Offensively. True. It's going to be hard.
It definitely is. Yeah, it takes a lot of the pressure off of the defensive coordinator, I'll tell you that much.
Yes.
Because he doesn't have to think about the guy who Nnamdi Asamoah is covering at all. That guy is completely taken out of the game plan. Your number one receiver, forget about him. He might have two catches.
Yep. I just want to say one thing. They better not stinking trade Asante Samuel.
That was going to be
terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible idea. I'm sorry. Cromartie, very good 2 years ago, not very good last year. Do we know for sure what we're getting from him? We think he's going to be really good for years to come, yes. We don't know that for 100% sure. We know Samuel's awesome right now. We also know that he got 7 interceptions last year, 9 the year before that, when teams weren't throwing at him, especially last year.
Right.
With the worst cornerback in the league on the other side, it's like Samuel, top 5, the other guy, the worst. Who are you throwing at? Of course.
Uh-huh.
Not Samuel, and he's still got 7 interceptions.
Yep.
Now, with teams having to throw, no choice but to throw to him, he could get 15. He could set a league record for interceptions.
Yep.
They absolutely need to keep him. If they have to, I don't want to trade anybody. If they have to trade anyone, trade Cromartie. He'd have just as big a value as Asante.
Yes.
26, you know?
25 or 26, yeah.
I'd keep them all. You don't want to be one injury away from the same problem we had last year.
Yep.
Because that, you know. And Cromartie already said he'd play a slot. What's the problem? You know?
Yeah.
Asante's going to be starting. He shouldn't have any problem.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing about this is – Green Bay and the Saints, who you may end up playing in the playoffs, run 3 receiver sets all of the time. That's all they do.
Yep.
You know, it's Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson and whoever else the other Jones, I think the other receiver is.
Yes.
And same thing with
Saints.
New Orleans, who they have amazing receivers.
Yeah,
so
both teams.
Exactly. So there's no reason in my mind that the Eagles should not.
Later, the longer it goes, the less chance it is going to be because the team isn't going to want to trade for someone at the last second. They're going to want to get the most time in camp and everything else they can. So as we're going on here, I was really scared at first. I'm getting less scared as time goes on because, again, if you're going to trade for them, you do it right away because you want to get them the most time to learn your system and everything else like that. So.
Yep.
There hasn't been any word at all for the last week. It seems like they're going to keep him all for at least a year. And like I said, Asante's not going to be mad because he's going to be the starter over Cromartie.
Yeah.
So, and Cromartie already said he's totally cool with it. So,
You
know what? Nobody's going to be mad. It's not going to be a Lito Shepherd situation.
Yep.
It's a passing
league.
You know, we thought, oh, we'll keep Lito and it'll be great, but yep. Lito just decided to be a little bitch about it and screw everything up and not play well. But that's not going to happen because everybody's already cool with their roles. You know, these guys want to win, so I'm excited.
Yeah, that is the cool part. I mean, we got Ronnie Brown. I didn't even say anything about him yet.
Yeah, seriously, it's like hard to even mention him.
Yeah.
Great, changes your pace once in a while. Absolutely. In case of a, hopefully not happening, but in case of an injury maybe for a game or two, it'd be fine to take the thing.
He's a better short yardage back than Shady McCoy. He just is.
Well, McCoy actually was really good in short yardage. Like, he was one of the better backs in short yardage. He was like 8 of 10 or 8 of 11 maybe.
Look at you with stats off the top of your head.
Third and three or less. Good. He was either 8 of 10 or 8 of 11. So he actually was pretty good. And was one of the best backs between the tackles also. So we did have some troubles on third and ones, but it wasn't McCoy's fault. It was more when they would do draws to Vic and things like that. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think they'll be fine. McCoy's good. Brown's also good short yardage. I think their short yardage is going to be better this year than it has been in the past.
Let's hope so.
They also got a couple of offensive linemen. I can't think of the names off the top of my head, but
Harris is one of them. Ryan Harris is one.
Yeah, Harris. He should be good for the right tackle, possibly.
Yep.
And I think the depth for the offensive line now, we've got some depth there. It's nice.
Yeah.
We finally signed that first-round pick.
Yep.
Got him
looking good. They got him running with the ones.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people said, "Oh, he's 26." You know, aren't we trying to win now?
Yeah,
you know, a 26-year-old is going to be better as a rookie than a 22-year-old.
Absolutely.
Like, who cares how good he is in 5 years? I care about how good he is this year,
today. Exactly.
26 actually is better. So,
yep, I agree.
I just thought that was just people that have to bitch no matter what, complaining about that. You know, you're trying to win the Super Bowl this year. The fact that he's 26, who cares? We're going to have him, you know, in his prime for at least 5 or 6 more years. That's who cares
That's
about plenty. You.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, Vic's going to be done out of his prime in 3-4 years anyway. So,
yeah.
You don't need a guy who's going to be here 10 years.
Yeah, let's have a – you know, that was a good idea for this year. We needed offensive line help. If they can figure out how to pick up the blitz – you know, a lot of people are saying, I wouldn't mind seeing him, you know, sign a veteran linebacker just for a little more depth. Not a great – you know, it wouldn't have to be a great one, just a body.
Uh-huh. They got 4 million.
The linebacker is going to be helped by the fact that our defensive line should be so good and our secondary should be so good.
Yeah.
We can stack the box against the run. We can double cover the tight end and a slot receiver. You know what I mean? Like, we can help the linebackers because our other positions are so stacked on defense now.
Yep.
So I think
they're saying that the rookie is running with the ones and doing really well. But they also say Jamar Chaney is also playing really well, but Matthews is who I was thinking about. Now, Matthews, I thought, was a really good draft.
I agree. I wanted to pick him before the draft. I thought, oh, man, Matthews, because he looked really good in the that bowl game.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, you know a guy like that is going to be smart. And when it comes to intangibles like that and a linebacker, that's just fantastic. You don't need a linebacker who's the most physically gifted. You want a linebacker who's smart, who knows everybody's supposed to be.
Goes a long way.
Exactly. Absolutely. There's guys that play in this league forever because they're just smart. You know, guys like, you know, Romanowski and like all these other linebackers that just played in the league for years because they knew where they were supposed to be. They knew.
Even Trotter kept coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He was smart. That helped.
He was. But yeah, there's always been guys like that. And I think his football IQ is going to be amazing because, you know, he's grown up with it. It's all he's done his whole life.
Loyalty.
Football. Yeah. Exactly, literally. So, yeah, man, the Eagles are looking good. Let's get an early prediction. Let's go through the schedule and let's see what you and me have for wins. So you got the schedule up in front of you?
Yep.
Let's do it. All right, so week one, we got the Rams and their superstar edition, Quentin Michael.
Yeah, 27 million?
Yeah.
That's a bit much. It's on the road. The thing is, we got all these new guys. It's a short off season. We might take a minute to gel. You're a little worried still about how we can pick up the blitz because we weren't quite the same, you know, once the Giants kind of put that blueprint out there. Now, hopefully, obviously, Reed knows, hey, we need to figure this out. You know what I mean? And even so, even with other teams being very successful blitzing, we're still getting about 20 points a game towards the end, which isn't bad. It just wasn't 50.
Mm-hmm.
Still, you look at the first two at St. Louis, at Atlanta, I'm going 1-1 out of that.
Okay. Two of those are going to lose.
Yeah, it's a tall order to be 2-0, especially with all the new additions. We might take a minute to get up to speed. St. Louis, you know, good quarterback, should be better this year. You know, Atlanta was very good last year. That's tough to go 2-0. I'd love to see it, but let's be realistic. I say 1-1 after the first two.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you on that. They could lose that Atlanta game. I don't think there's any way there.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at each one on its own, you can win both. But together, it looks like the odds are they're probably going to lose one or the other.
Right. You would like to come out of
the game. So then we
got the Giants.
Giants at home, I call that a W.
Yeah, I agree.
San Fran at home, definitely a W.
Yeah, with
Buffalo
with
on
Akers.
The road.
It's going to be weird seeing Akers in another team's jerseys.
Yeah, that is going to be weird. Buffalo on the road, please.
Yeah, that's a walk.
So what are we at right now? 1, 2, 3, 3-1? 4-1.
4-1.
4-1.
Yeah,
4-1. At Washington, W.
Yeah. Washington looks bad. I don't know what they're bringing
to
the table.
They're always bad. 5-1 going into the bye. We know they never lose coming out of the bye. It's home against Dallas. I got them 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
Home against Chicago. You've got to figure they're going to lose a game here somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're going to give one up.
After Dallas, kind of an emotional game. I'll call the Chicago game a loss.
Yeah, they come off flat spot in the schedule. Night game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that, too. So, 7-2 after week 9? Yeah, it looks like 7-2.
No, because there's a bye, so it'd be 6-2.
6-2, yeah, then. Okay. Yeah, they're right.
Okay. So, home against Arizona, W.
That's a win.
Yeah, so now they're 7-2. Oh,
shit, old Kevin Cobb game.
Yeah. We haven't lost to
the still starting at that point.
Yeah. That's
or
true.
He's intact.
Yeah, exactly.
He's never played a few years. We don't know how durable he is.
Yeah, we don't. Yep, that's true. Okay, so week 11 is at the Giants, which is. We haven't lost the Giants in a while, but you
killed
can't.
The Giants
you
know, for the last
can't figure
years.
You win them all. Tough to call in at the Giants a win, so I'm going to call that a loss. So what are we at? Week 11, 3 losses, so we're 7-3 so far?
Yeah.
You know what?
No.
Let's see. We got at New York and home against New England. I'll call that a 1-1.
Uh-huh.
Two tough games again, just like the first two.
Right, okay. So yeah,
I'm going to give it
I think they'll definitely take the Giants, but they'll lose to New England.
You think you're calling sweep the Giants?
Yep.
Okay. But I'll give it a 1-1 either way there. So we're at 3 losses, 8 wins through week 12, 13 at Seattle. Now, here's a tough game, honestly. Just played New England at 4:15. Have to go on the road 3,000 miles away for Thursday night game, which is a load of crap.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Should not, on a short week, have to travel 3,000 miles ever.
Yeah.
That's terrible. And so Seattle, that's a tough spot in the schedule. I'm going to call that a loss just because of having to travel on a short week Sunday to Thursday. So that's the fourth loss. I got them 8-4 so far. At Miami, W, 9-4. Home against the Jets. That's another tough game, but it's at home, so I'll call it a win. So 10-4 now. You with me still so far?
Yep, I'm with you.
Did you call Seattle a loss?
Yeah, I'm going with you on that. Okay. So I've got the same thing.
At Dallas, W, home against Washington, W. I got 12-4.
Yeah.
That's probably, I mean,
I say 12-4. That last game, they may be a wash.
Could be
11-5.
Could be
11-5 I think that last game may be meaningless. I don't think anybody's going to be as close to us in the NFC East. I don't.
If we're 11-4, you think we're already, but we got to, you know, the bye is still going to be out
there. That's also true, yeah. If the bye is a factor. If
we're 11-4, I can't imagine we'll have clinched a bye, so.
Yeah, you're probably right with that. Probably right. So, yeah, 12-4.
Yeah, I could say 12-4. No way 13-3 because we got – to me, that Seattle game is really tough. New England and the Jets, both tough. Luckily, both of those are at home, at Atlanta, at St. Louis, at Dallas, at the Giants. Those are some tough – how many is that? Jets, Dallas, Seattle, New England – Giants, Atlanta, St. Louis. To me, that's at least 7 pretty at home against Chicago. 8 tough games to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you go 4-4 in those 8, that's pretty good. You know, and honestly, you probably have to go 5-3 in those 8 to hit 12-4 because you're gonna lose one winnable game at some point usually. So
right. Here's the thing.
Yeah, maybe this will just be one of those teams that beats everyone they should, and you know,
maybe it could be.
That's what, we're hoping for. So
yeah, exactly. This team has a different makeup than any team that we've seen in recent Eagles history. Because A, they're built to win now. Like that 2004 Eagles team was kind of had the similar mentality. But
right.
I don't think McNabb has the same type of forgive me for this, but
Vic's better than McNabb.
Yeah, Vic is better than McNabb, exactly. Vic has more of a killer instinct to, to play on words. But he just does. He wants to win. He wants to prove everybody wrong. He wants to win back his fans. He wants it. And I think his leadership is just better. Like, I think people want to play with him more than they wanted to play with McNabb.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think this team could – they could go 13-3. You know,
love to see it.
Yeah, we know our coaches, we know our team's history, so we know that this is going to be one of those games where they just play down to the competition. That's how we feel. But this team could be different. You don't know.
Yeah, we hope so.
Yeah, exactly. But they should be fun. Oh, we didn't even talk about they got Donald Lee. Donald Lee's a really good backup tight end. He's got great hands.
And Vince Young, we never even mentioned yet.
Yeah, that's right.
Which would be great as long if Vic gets hurt for a couple games. I'm perfectly fine with Vince Young going in there.
Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. It's not in the first 2 weeks, once Vince Young picks up the playbook and everything like that, it gets a little more used to the system. So,
I agree. They're going to do run some funny offensive plays. I know that Reed is definitely.
Yep, he'll have some few tricks up his sleeve.
Exactly, absolutely. He's going to be staying up at night, just drawing up some him and Mortonwick, just like goofy like wildcat option plays with Ronnie Brown and Vince Young and all these different weapons he has now,
all these toys. Yep.
Exactly. So it should be, I mean, the Eagles, the offense was fun to watch last year. Think about how fun they're going to be to watch this year.
They can pick up the blitz, man. The sky's the absolute limit.
Absolutely.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They could blow people out just like they did last year. So we both got about a 12-4 record.
I'd say 12-4, but 12-4, 11-5, rather than 12-4, 13-3. Like, if they don't go 12-4, my next most likely would be 11-5. That's because we got a tough schedule. AFC East is tough.
It is. That is.
So is the NFC East.
Yeah.
Two toughest divisions in football, I think. So.
Yeah, that's probably true. No, I think the NFC South is probably the toughest division of football. Atlanta, Green Bay.
Okay, which one's the toughest?
Minnesota. AFC East and NFC South, I think, are the two top.
And then the NFC East. Okay, that's probably fair. Yeah, that's probably fair. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about football and Crossfire. But let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the legal procedure and the tweet of the week. You guys stick the heck around. This is the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That's us. You guys, stay tuned.
What I want to see tomorrow. Do we understand what the fuck I want to see tomorrow? Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the show. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Welcome.
And now it is time for another one of our weekly segments. It is time for the illegal procedure of the week.
Well, they called us for illegal procedure.
Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I've been so...
All right, gang. This week, illegal procedure, to me, blatantly obvious. The illegal procedure is being given to the Eagles front office. Did some great things? Yeah, absolutely. However, the one black cloud that is hanging over their head is they have refused to pay DeSean Jackson yet. And it doesn't make any sense to me or Al or anybody else on the planet. I mean, the guy has completely outperformed his contract. He's scheduled to make, what, 500 grand this year, correct?
Five or six, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's chump change compared to most NFL contracts. The guy's been a Pro Bowler the last 2 years.
Yeah, and he, even 2 years ago, let's not forget, made it as a returner and wide receiver.
That's exactly, exactly.
He was a double Pro Bowler.
Precisely, precisely. Yeah, the guy's been nothing but awesome for the Eagles. He puts it all out there. You know, he makes some dumb mistakes on the field too, and
sure,
you know, he hasn't had the greatest playoff career yet. But the guy deserves to get paid. Like,
absolutely,
he's one injury away from drinking through a straw, or you know, never playing another down in the NFL. You got to pay the guy. Why would you put your career on the line? Why would you stick your neck out for somebody who, you know, isn't gonna, you know, let you provide for your family? So it's not cool. I mean, not that you need, you know, $18 million to provide for your family, but
right. But he's only made $1 million total, yeah, or $1.5 million. That's not, you know,
Money. It's not gonna last you. Exactly, exactly.
You know, it's not like he's already made $30-40 million talking about precisely his family. He hasn't made any money comparatively.
Yeah.
And
it's true.
No, I agree. Just my two cents on this too. A lot of people say, well, he's not worth top five receiver money because he's not, you know, an Andre Johnson that's going to get you 8 or 10 catches every game and you can't shut him down because sometimes he goes away. He's not Andre Johnson.
No.
He's not 6'4" and a big possession receiver. He's 5'6", but he's a burner.
Yeah.
You know, Johnson can't get down the field the way he does. He's a different kind of a guy.
Absolutely.
And a guy like Andre Johnson is going to be more consistent by nature than a guy who's speedy like Deshaun. You know, but that home run threat changes the defense, opens it up for everybody in your offense.
Absolutely.
And is absolutely just as valuable to us as an Andre Johnson, or very close to it.
Yeah.
He's just different. So
exactly.
I don't want to hear people say that. He's not the same. He's a totally different type of a player.
Yeah. Just because he's not, you know, old school like, you know, Randy Moss a couple years ago.
Right. He's not Randy Moss in his prime. Okay.
Yeah.
We
mm-hmm.
get it. He's worth, you know, 5-year, $50 million deal with 20 guaranteed, something
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what they're asking
you can game
for.
Plan.
If they're asking for like $70 million or something, then yeah, okay, I can see it. You're not gonna
yeah.
give him that. You don't want to blow your cap on one player. But I absolutely think he's worth $10 million a year.
Yeah.
And they should give him, you know, I think if the Eagles offered 5 and 50 with 20-25 guaranteed, Deshaun would take that.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a fair contract for both sides to me. It wouldn't be as much as he'd get on the open market, but he's not on the open market, so you shouldn't have to pay that.
Yep.
And it's still a nice chunk of change, so.
It's true.
Pay the man. I agree.
Yeah,
good call, sir.
Pay the man. Needs to happen. So, with that being said, it's time to get into another one of our fantastic segments. You got it, gang. It's time for the tweet of the week.
La, 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 la. Don't wait till I get my Twitter right. La, 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 la. Then you can't tweet me nothing right.
All right, guys, this week, Tweet of the Week, just saw it recently today during the Phillies game. And for those of you who follow me on Twitter, you know, I like to I like Tim Tebow humor. I just do. He's an interesting character to me. But it was tweeted originally by one of our followers, Philly Fans Voice. And it was also added to by somebody who covers the Broncos at Post Broncos, and then it's a Mets fan. I guess I got to give props to a Mets fan. Oh, it was funny. I guess I got to.
That's just so.
Terrible. I mean,
it's like they're yeah.
Yeah.
They get crapped on.
Exactly.
The team, so.
Exactly. You guys get you know, at least credit for this. Yeah. At Mets fan Murph actually says the funniest part of this. So the original part was at Post Broncos tweets, Tim Tebow just signed a pregnant woman's belly. This is that, you know, at Broncos camp. And the Mets fan tweeted back at them, she will now name her kid Intangibles.
That is pretty good.
So I thought that was pretty
good. You think he's going to be a good NFL starter?
I don't know, man. He's got the Intangibles. I know that.
That's true.
If he's got much else. He needs to get out of Denver, though. They don't know what they're doing over there. I'll tell you that.
What's
much.
What's ceiling, though? Like, average
starter? Ceiling? What's
yeah.
his ceiling?
I mean, he's not going to be great, right?
No, he's not going to be great. I'm trying to think of who you could compare
him
to.
He's, like, too white, almost. I mean, I guess white players are, you know, there's been a lot of good white quarterbacks, but I don't know, man.
Wait, what does that statement mean? I don't get that.
He seems so white. I don't know. White guys aren't as athletic as black guys. You know that.
That's true. That is true. So you just think his athleticism isn't NFL caliber?
Is that fair to say? I don't know.
I mean,
maybe not. Maybe I'm being racist against my own race, but whatever.
Screw you, white people. Damn the man.
You can't run like they can. To the best of Murdoch, when we talked about how if you put a horse in pads, if a black horse would be faster than a white horse.
So racist. Jerk. That was funny. I remember that.
Yep. But I don't know. His ceiling is probably 3,000 yards.
The thing is, the ceiling is like Kyle Orton, maybe a tiny bit better. That's
exactly.
Why it doesn't
exactly
make sense to get rid of Orton, honestly. Yeah, Orton's better.
I agree. I'm trying to think if there's any bit. There's never been a player that's kind of had.
It takes like 47 hours. He starts the release on Friday, and it gets completed. He actually lets the ball go on Tuesday.
It's like, come on, man.
So slow. Yeah, he makes like Randall Cunningham look like John Elway.
You're right. I was just about to say that. Yeah, Randall had a really slow one.
He had a really slow release, but he could run.
Yeah, exactly.
Well.
He could run better, and he had better receivers, at least. He had no offensive line, no running.
He was just brutal mechanics, man.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, he's changed him a little bit, but...
Yeah, it's still not great,
You have to put him in the ideal situation for him to make the playoffs.
Right. I mean, like I said, his ceiling. I think, I just don't see that he's going to be any good. I think if he... It's a weird thing to say, but if he played his career out 10 times, 9 times, he'd be and one time he'd be decent.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he's got like a 10% chance of being Kyle Orton and a 90% chance of sucking. But, whatever.
Yeah,
a decent backup. He'll make, $20 million, $30 million, $40 million in his career, something crazy like that. But
And he'll get endorsements because people love him.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's get into Crossfire, man. Let's fire off some of these questions, man. We got some great Crossfire questions. So,
all right, start it off, sir.
Let's make it happen. It's time for Crossfire.
It's the ultimate challenge. Crossfire.
Crossfire. You get caught up in the crossfire. 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 Crossfire.
You'll get caught up.
All right, sir. So this week in Crossfire, six-pack rapid-fire questions. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Starting this week, number one, Randy Moss was spotted in Philadelphia at Capitol Grill on Friday. Question. That's this question. Would you want him here? Would you take a shot at Randy Moss at this stage, even though all his past issues or whatever? Would you take a shot, Randy Moss?
I'm gonna go two ways on this. If you could get him for free, I would. Because here's the thing: we have what I heard $4 million in cap room, but we have to pay Deshaun. So how much really extra cap room do we actually have at that point?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we can pay Deshaun if we only have $4 million, honestly. Unless they do some weird thing that only gets him a $3 or $4 million hit this year and still gives him a lot of guarantee money. I don't know how that works, the cap.
Uh-huh.
So it's real confusing.
But most people don't.
Rules. But obviously the Eagles are good at it, so they'll figure some way to do it. If he doesn't make it so we can't pay Deshaun, why not? I mean, are you kidding me? I think so. Randy Moss, when he's motivated, he's a game changer. And, him and Deshaun on either side, are you kidding me? Plus, he can jump ball in the end zone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, his hands have never been in question, His motivation.
His jumping ability. He can out-jump anyone, throw that fade to him in the corner.
Yep.
He would be absolutely good. And we can always cut the guy.
Yeah,
exactly. So he's bad, cut him right away. I absolutely would do it.
Yeah, there's not much risk. All right, so what do you got for me?
Do you think there's a lot of talk about the Eagles always trying to one-up the Phillies, and whenever the Phillies make news, the Eagles try to one-up them, almost like when A-Rod announced he was opting out during the Red Sox World Series in 2007, I guess that was. Yeah. So do you think the Eagles are jealous and they try to one-up the Phillies, or do you think sometimes things just happen as a coincidence and the timing is a coincidence? Or do you think they say, oh, man, Phillies right now have all the attention, like a jealous girl seeing another girl get attention, try to take it back? What do you think?
It seems like something that you should be above. I mean, completely separate businesses, completely separate sports, et cetera, et cetera. But and I don't think they specifically go – like tit for tat, like, oh, you signed somebody, we got to make noise too. But I do think that they feel the squeeze of just the loyalty of the fans swinging over to baseball. The Phillies are the number one game in town.
The NFL is always going to be the number one sport. But, now I think more people like the Phillies than anything. It's hard to say right now because everyone's really excited about the Eagles, too.
Absolutely, yeah.
But over the past couple years.
Fan loyalty, I just see so much more, so many more Phillies jerseys and hats. And, people just love the Phillies. Everybody loves a winner, man. And it could swing if the Eagles could ever win a Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm excited to be a part of an Eagles parade and an Eagles celebration if they ever won, but I kind of don't want to be there at the same time.
Yeah.
It's going to be utter pandemonium.
Right. Maybe death galore.
Bedlam. Exactly, yeah. There may be buildings knocked over. It may look like a scene from a Michael Bay movie. So I do think that the Eagles front office is aware that we might have to compete insofar as fans. So let's see what we can do to try to, make headline noise and let people know that we're still here. I can see that.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So next question for you, sir. Number three on the list here. Who right now would you say is your least favorite San Francisco Giant? I mean, we obviously hate them all, but I was just about to say,
it's like the opposite of when you say you love all your kids. It's hard to choose a favorite. I hate them all so much. How can I choose?
Precisely.
I'm actually going to, choose something you wouldn't expect. Cody Ross has been so bad this year. I'm going to go with Tim Lincecum. I hate his ugly, crooked teeth and his gay hair. I just can't stand him. I hate that guy. So I'm going with Tim Lincecum because Cody Ross has sucked all year. And when you suck, it's hard to really hate you.
That's true.
He was good for six games against us. That's it. That's his whole career, pretty much. And he's more irrelevant right now. He's batting .240 without much power or anything. So I hate Tim Lincecum the most.
Yeah.
I can't stand that fool.
I might have to say Jonathan Sanchez if I had to answer that really quickly. I can't stand
that's
that,
a good
dude.
One too. Hate that guy too. Yep.
He's really bad. I hate that guy. But yeah, they're all bad. And now Beltran is the former Met. You get to hate him twice over. So.
Yeah, I hate Beltran too. Can't stand that guy. He's just not a winner.
Yeah.
He actually had good Septembers in 07 and 08 when the Mets collapsed. He had good numbers. But, last night, for the Friday night game, the Vance Worley versus Jonathan Sanchez start, he was just – there was a play where Jimmy Rollins scored, and what happened was the catcher stepped up and then threw out Polanco at second because Polanco drove in Rollins. I don't know if you watched
that. Yeah, I watched that. Mm-hmm.
But Beltran just trotted over to the ball, picked it up, lackadaisically threw it in. If he ran over hard and gunned it in, he would have had Rollins by a mile.
Uh-huh.
He barely tried. And he did it a couple times just trotting over in right field when we scored runs. That's losing baseball right there.
Uh-huh.
Hunter Pence would have gone 100 miles an hour towards the ball and thrown it as quick as he could.
Yep.
We got the better right fielder.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. That's
screw you, Beltran. You suck.
Yeah. I would like to shout out somebody. I think it might have been at Dash Trayhorn on Twitter. Somebody actually predicted that Hunter Pence was going to be a Philly. I remember during the All-Star game, because remember Hunter Pence threw out somebody from right field that was going to score in the All-Star game?
That's right. Yeah.
When Halliday was on the mound, and somebody tweeted, nobody's going to score my future teammate, Roy Halliday. And I was like, that's pretty funny. And then, he ended up here. So.
End up true. All right, so I am going to actually change the question that we originally had here and ask you a one that I just thought of on my own.
Hit me.
So you're going to have to go,
I'm ready.
All right,
born ready.
Be flexible. Here it is. Who would you rather win a title, the Phillies this year or the Eagles, if you could only choose one?
Oh man, you put me. This is tough.
I know. I thought about it. I said, we got to throw that
in this question. This is impossible because the Phillies I've been dreaming about since the day we got Cliff Lee back. And I want Cliff Lee to win a title here. And I want.
And Roy Halladay.
And Roy Halladay, yeah. Both of those guys deserve it, honestly. Both of those guys don't have one. Both of them deserve it.
But it's the Eagles. Never won one.
Yeah, but it's the Eagles. We've never won one. I got to take the Eagles, man. A Super Bowl is just so huge.
I feel like probably a lot of people would say the Eagles, but I'm actually going to say the Phillies, and I'll tell you why. I know I won a Super Bowl so much, but right now the Phillies have a chance to go down as one of the best non-Yankees teams in the history of baseball and one of the best National League teams in the history of baseball.
Uh-huh.
How many teams have won, two titles and been in the World Series three times in 4 years. You know, and say they win this year and next year.
You're
then
right.
You've got three titles and four trips to the World Series. That hasn't happened much. The Big Red Machine won three. Oakland A's won three. You know, it's just – other than that, how many of the teams? You know, you got to go back to before World War II.
Yeah, I think for a historical perspective, you're right.
They have a chance to make history in the next 3 years by winning another couple titles. The Eagles obviously don't, you know, at least as yet, have that until they win one, two, three, something like that.
Right.
But right now, the Phillies win another game. They're, you know, win another world title. You know, they're on a short list of best non-Yankees teams. I don't think you could find 10 non-Yankees teams better than them winning two titles 3 and 4 years, especially in this era of how many teams they have to go through and everything else.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's out there. That's in play. I want that. I want to be one of the best teams ever. Obviously, you have to say non-Yankees teams. But, you know, certainly one of the best National League teams.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So, you know, that's why I'm picking the Phillies. It's tough, though, because I really want a Super Bowl before I die.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
But,
absolutely.
Both. Yeah, I would take that. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I'll take both. I'll take both. All right. So next question for you, sir. Who is going to have a better record? Kevin Cobb with the Cardinals.
Okay.
Or the Minnesota Vikings with Donovan McNabb. What do you think?
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question to clarify.
Uh-huh.
Is this personal QB's one-loss record, or is this which team's going to have a better record? Because they could get hurt and not play all the games or anything like that.
Assuming both of them play a full season.
So, okay, assuming they both play a full season, which team would have a better record?
Right.
Oof, that's a tough one.
Both in the middle of the, like, both of those teams are kind of middle-ish kind of ground. But, you know, the Minnesota
Arizona has
plays
such
in a better...
a bad division. Minnesota, you know, actually, I think Detroit actually has a chance to have a pretty decent year if Stafford can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. It's a shame that Fairley got hurt, but, man,
I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, he had a surgery on his foot. He's supposed to only be out for like 4 or 5 weeks, so he still could be back by week one or week two.
Okay.
But man, with Fairley and Sue in the middle,
has
any team ever had, you know, potentially dominant tackles like that? I don't know. I mean, maybe way back in the day, but certainly no team that I've ever seen has had, you know, the two best possibly defensive. Because who's like a great defensive tackle that just goes crazy? Sue's the best one in the league. And other than that, nobody really comes to mind since Warren Sapp. And Fairley, you know, in college was that kind of player. What if they're both that good? That would be unbelievable.
They have a
really good end. His name's escaped me. I mean, they could have a decent year this year. They obviously have, you know, good wide receiver. And the quarterback, to me, if he's healthy, is good. So the Lions, the Packers, the Bears, tough division.
Oh, my.
I'm going to have to say Minnesota, even though, because they have a better team around them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Adrian Peterson. And McNabb's never had to run a game. So let's see what he's like when he gets to hand it off 30 times a game. You know?
Yeah, it's true.
And that's what they're going to do. So I actually think McNabb could have a decent year. He's very motivated to prove everybody wrong.
Yep.
Actually going to be close. I wouldn't be surprised if they had the same record. But I'm going to go Minnesota. You know,
so like a what, like 8-8?
Arizona.
What's the ceiling?
The ceiling for Minnesota, they could go 10-6. I'm not looking at their schedule, but
you know,
if McNabb is good, yeah, I think so. Why not? If it's a good McNabb, you know, with him and Adrian Peterson, why not? I mean, they came within one.
The defense is pretty good too.
Yeah, it's not that much different of a team that almost went to the Super Bowl with Favre. So, if McNabb is good, then yeah,
they lost Sidney Rice, which is huge.
That's true. That's a good point.
He was the best receiver.
Yeah, that was stupid. Get McNabb and then lose your best receiver.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they'll go out and sign Moss. I doubt it. I'm just kidding. Obviously, they did that last year.
Right.
Regretted it. But, no, I think they could be decent this year. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Okay. Who do you think was the most surprising addition? Nnamdi Asamoah or Hunter Pence?
All right. Really, I didn't see either of these coming at all. Both of them were shocking to me, and like you said, the Phillies gave up a decent package to get Hunter Pence,
top two minor leaguers in their whole system.
Yeah, exactly. but it was a great move. But really, the Nnamdi Asamoah move just shocked me. It just blew
shocked you after, you know, yeah, after been shocked getting, if we hadn't have gotten DRC. Yeah,
precisely,
exactly.
Precisely. I mean, it was a pipe dream. Now, we talked about this like 8 months ago, before the Eagles season, I think, was even over.
Yep, absolutely.
Not 8 months ago, because this podcast has been going on for that long. Almost, I guess. Yeah, because this is the 8th month of the year.
Talked about
this we started it. Yeah, okay. So, but yeah, we talked about it for the, like, could they bring Nnamdi Asamoah in? And
it was a dream. It was a dream, like, signing Cliff Lee was a dream.
Yep, precisely. So I did not see that coming, man.
Asamoah was more surprising.
Man, he's top two corner in the league, like, shuts down the other teams. It makes your defense so much better when you got to go. You don't really have to.
I can't wait to see what Asante Samuel can do.
Yeah.
When they have to throw at him. Mm-hmm. There's no ceiling on a Samuel season this year. It's going to be unbelievable. And Asamoah, too. He hasn't been thrown at in years and years and years. They're going to have to throw. Well, are they just never going to throw it outside? The thing is, if they do that, all the other receivers are going to be double covered. You know, if no team is throwing to either Samuel or Asamoah, you know, it's not like the Eagles aren't going to pick up on that.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're not going to be able to throw inside either. I would love to see Green Bay play the Eagles at about week 8 or 9 when they're both in midseason form.
Yeah.
To see the best offense, passing offense against our corners.
Yeah.
We win out. Usually defense wins, but it would be a fascinating matchup.
Yep.
It'd be great if we can meet them in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Love to see that. It'd be a great NFC championship.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be a fun season. I'm looking forward to it. 4 weeks away, about 4 or 5 weeks away. So, anyway.
Yeah, September 11th it starts?
Yeah, exactly, September
11th. So, yeah, a month and 5 days. So, yeah.
You got it.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Let's get some. If you got any shout outs, go ahead and let's hit those, man, and we'll get out of here.
Shout out to everybody in the hood. Shout out to everybody smoking that glue. Shout out to everybody in the club. Everybody getting live from the geeks to the club.
What you think, man? Any for you?
Let's shout out our friend and follower, great Phillies fan. If you like the Phillies, you should follow her, XO Christina XO on Twitter.
Very cool.
She's a great follower, and anyone that's into baseball should be following her for sure.
For sure. Honestly, you know, there's like a bazillion Phillies fans, you know, in and around the area, and a lot of them are on Twitter. I don't understand how so many people don't have more followers. So you guys get on that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, another one is Alex on the mic.
Yeah.
She is a huge Philly sports fan. She's funny, smart, great girl. You should be definitely following those two if you're Philly fans at all.
Yeah, Alex on the MIC is how you spell it.
Yeah, Alex on the MIC. Those are both definitely should check them out. They're entertaining to follow and good sports fans. So,
yep, definitely do that. All right, I got a couple. One of our fellow fans at Quiet Hailstorm. It's Haile Storm. Definitely follow her. She's really cool. Big sports fan, and she just nominated us for a media award. It looks like. So that's cool. Also follow my boy.
Sweet, she has good taste.
Clearly, my boy at Gene Willie. Huge, he's like a major player in like Madden. Like, dude's like a beast. He's been on like ESPN for playing Madden football.
Wow.
So if you guys think you're good at that, play him. He'll probably humble you.
Mom is a major player at Madden.
That would actually be kind of funny
to see your mom playing Madden.
Exactly. Especially if she was any good.
Mom, get off the stinking PlayStation. That's all you ever do.
Exactly. Hold up, Mom. Set up the zone blitz.
Nice.
I need to run my receiver with a hot route.
I totally distracted this when it ran this conversation way off course.
It's all good. It's fun.
Good at that.
Exactly. Also, a new follower at Broad Street Journal. It's Broad and then ST Journal. He's really cool. Let's see. Who else we got here? Donna _ cutie _ pie. She's another one of our bigger fans. We like her a lot. My boy at Irony Now, also very cool. Can't forget Bren D 85. That's Bren D E E 85. She's a big fan of ours, and she always supports our T-shirt entrepreneurial type stuff. I got a bunch of new shirts, so check those out. It's official review.spreadshirt.com. And that's going to be it for me. I had a ton of shout-outs, man. Everybody, you just follow everybody we follow, pretty much.
Seriously.
And, you know, we're on twitter.com/officialreview if you guys don't know that. Definitely get on that. You definitely want to be following us by football season because we live tweet every single football game. So we do 90
also every baseball game. Playoff game.
Yeah,
sure.
And every baseball playoff game, exactly. It's the fall is the best for watching sports and interacting with Twitter at the same time. So, yeah, you guys, stick around, stay tuned. Be doing a new episode very soon, and we'll be in touch. You guys have a great week.
Absolutely.
How do we usually sign this show off?
We got Cliff Lee. What up?
That's right. We got Cliff Lee. We'll catch you guys later. Peace.
I am man. Hear me roar. The number's too big to ignore. And I'm way too hungry to settle for chick food. 'Cause my stomach's starting to growl. And I'm going on the prowl for a Texas double whopper. Man, that's good. Oh, yes. I'm a guy, I'll admit I've been fed quiche. Way tofu, bye-bye, now it's the Whopper beef I reach. I will eat this meat, till my innie turns into an outie. I am a star, I am incorrigible. And I'll eat the scarf of big burger, beef, bacon, jalapeno, good thing down.
Texas Double Whopper. Eat like a man.